to LBC. Let's get more on all of this and also try and break down what we might be talking about here and what Keir Starmer is talking about. Professor Ian Golden joins me, Professor of Globalisation and Development at the University of Oxford, author of The Shortest History of Migration. Ian, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much indeed for coming on. Simple question to kick us off. What actually is globalisation?
Hi, Ben. Great to be with you. For me, globalization is flows across national borders, all flows. So certainly trade flows, but also investment flows, people flows, flows of ideas, flows of good things like vaccines and flows of bad things like pandemics and financial crises. So it's all these flows which have accelerated greatly in the period since about 1990 when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Uruguay round of trade negotiations lowered trade tariffs, when NAFTA in the Americas integrated Canada and Mexico with the US economy, and when China began to open up. So many things happened, and of course the development of the World Wide Web was fundamental to ideas flows. And so over the last 30 years, we've seen this rapid increase in all these flows. Some have been very good, and some have been very bad. And I think the failure is really to manage the bads. And one thing that hasn't globalized is governments. So we still have very nationalistic governments, and we're not managing these cross-border flows. So they've been, you know, race the bottom in tax with tax havens. There's been obviously two major crises, which is the financial crisis and COVID-19, where bad things flowed through globalization, and lots of people have lost their jobs. But I don't think globalization's dead. It's just transforming. It's alive and well and living in Asia as well.
All right, let's break some of that down. We'll come on to sort of whether or not it's dead in just a moment. But starting with the good, the bad, and the ugly. You said it's had a lot of positives. How has globalization benefited people in this country?
Well, I think it's benefited us all immensely in many ways. Clearly, the growth of the UK economy has been partly through exports. It's been through the development of ideas, which have been incredibly successful for the UK. It's been through imports of cheaper items, as you mentioned in your prelude. And it's been, of course, through the choice of things that we have. Mm. So we have much wider choice in our societies, in everything we do, in the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the ideas that we can get. And being part of this global community has also enabled us to understand the risks of globalization. For example, the risks of climate change, the risk of pandemics and others. So helping to manage these risks is also part of globalization.
In terms of sort of the domestic impact, I mean, a lot of people say, yes, it's made goods cheaper. Yes, it's given us more choice, but it's also come at the expense of an awful lot of jobs in this country.
Yes, I mean, the real failure, I think, has been the failure to redistribute the benefits. That the benefits have been really seen to go to a small group of people rather than to the society as a whole. And it's that failure of redistribution, the failure of everyone to feel included, which I think is the big problem. It's certainly the big problem in the US as well, where some people have benefited much more than others, and some have done very badly. Not only have some people lost their jobs, but the financial crisis and COVID-19, greatly exacerbated inequalities.
What sort of people would you say have benefited most, and on the flip side, in who has suffered most because of globalization?
Well, I think in the UK, it's mainly people in the southeast that have benefited. London's benefited enormously from it. I think what we've seen is clearly finance and professions like law and many other professions have benefited enormously from it. The university sector's benefited from it as well. We've got fantastic international students now and international faculty. We're dominating some areas internationally in terms of education. It's also been very strong for British culture, for example. British music, British arts, London theatre is booming. It's now well overtaken Broadway because of this. But it is concentrated in the southeast of England. And what hasn't benefited is the old manufacturing towns, the places which used to be strong. It's not just globalization, it's also that technological change is driving this. So as we become more and more a society where things are in services and automated, if jobs do come back in manufacturing, they're not going to be labor intensive. They're going to be robots that are going to be doing a lot of these jobs. And again, those things often happen in different places. to the old jobs. So the Industrial Revolution defined where jobs used to be, and now it's the race for talent.
I'm struck by, as you're talking, that it seems to me what you're saying is that the areas and the people who are already doing all right, London, the South East, universities, so on, have benefited, and areas and parts of the country and people in those parts of the country that were already struggling have been made worse off. So it's increased the gulf between the sort of haves and the have-nots, for want of a better phrase.
I think it has, because it's made dynamic cities even more dynamic, and it's slowed the growth in many other places. And that, again, is a failure of redistribution. But it's also a failure of, for example, creating affordable housing in the dynamic places, transport systems, infrastructure, which allows people to move to where the new jobs are. And all of those things combined have basically kept people in places which are not doing well out of globalization. Mm. That's true in the UK, it's true in the US, it's true in France, it's true in Germany, it's true in all these big societies. And of course, what's happened in Asia is that people have basically left the countryside and gone into very dynamic cities. And so we've seen this massive reduction in poverty in Asia, well over a billion people, because of globalization as well.
It sounds like you'd agree with the sort of the Downing Street line that globalization has failed millions of people in. I wonder if you agree quite as much with the suggestion that we've heard in the last couple of days from government ministers that globalization hasn't not just failed, but it is now over, as Darren Jones, the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, seemed to suggest yesterday, and Keir Starmer seeming to echo that sort of language today.
No, I think that's not right. It's not over. It's rapidly transforming. What's certainly going to continue is the globalization of many bad things. So systemic risk is globalized. We see that in the response to the tariffs. That's a global response that's flowing across national borders. I think we're seeing where countries are integrating, changing. So Asia is rapidly globalizing. The investment flows, the trade flows, people flows in Asia are going up extremely rapidly. What is on the decline is globalization in the Atlantic, particularly the US is isolating itself. What the UK does, its integration with Europe, its integration with Asia, is going to determine how its future is going to play out. But I don't think it's over. It's just undergoing extremely rapid transformation. And what I hope happens is that we have some more globalization of politics. We really need to coordinate with others on the great risks we face.
Including, presumably, closer cooperation with the European Union.
Absolutely.
Would you like to see us rejoin or join some sort of customs union, or what would that look like?
Yes, I personally believe that Brexit was the greatest act of harm Britain's done to itself in history. So, yes, absolutely. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing the importance of an integrated market in Europe, 27 countries. Mm. We're seeing the response on Ukraine and to Russia. We're seeing the need to stand up to the US. We thought that this was going to be our great ally. We thought we'd have a free trade agreement with them and all these things that were promised in the Brexit debates. And of course, we're seeing how weak those promises are and how false they are. So yes, our future very much lies with Europe, and I think more than Europe, it also lies in closer integration with Asia.
Really interesting. Really, really interesting indeed. Thank you, Professor Ian Golden, Professor of Globalisation and Development at the University of Oxford, author of the book The Shortest History of Migration.